Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
The U.S. go up. What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra.
Lloyd will try a long hit. What a goal from Lloyd. This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is. Switzerland. And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
We didn't test them enough, whether it was not being direct enough or not. Yeah, I'm not too sure, but it just felt like we couldn't break them down. Obviously, they defended well, but yeah, we just needed, you know, some new solutions, and yeah, obviously it wasn't good enough.
That was Christian Pulisic, and that was the presser postgame after the 1-1 draw with Canada in Nashville. And tonight I'll tell you about the press conference that occurred today. Christian Pulisic took questions, as did the head man, Greg Berhalter. Welcome into Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hoping you all had a great Labor Day weekend. I've got tickets to give away tonight to both the Dynamo and Austin FC match on Saturday, and then the Houston Dash on Friday night against the Chicago Red Stars. So the number to call in throughout the night is 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. I do want to hear from you tonight. Are you in a state of panic with the United States men's national team after two games? They have not lost. They've taken 2 points. There's still an additional 36 points available, including tomorrow's game in San Pedro Sula, in Honduras tomorrow. So is the sky falling for you? Two draws and two matches against El Salvador and Canada. Let's get your take tonight on the U.S. men's national team situation. We can talk Houston Dynamo as well. In this moment, we're waiting for Alex Benegas of Central America Radio and TV. He is down in Honduras. We're hoping to get to him live. We'll have Josh Wolf, the Austin FC head coach, on in segment number two. Also tonight, to tell us his experiences in San Pedro Sula in World Cup qualifying, as former U.S. men's national team center back, Marcelo Balboa. He'll join the show tonight. We will talk about the U.S. men's national team and some things he would like to see different come that game tomorrow night. Bogdan Anut is a former player at the Romanian club Dinamo Bucharest. He is currently working in Houston on the youth side of things and player development with young players. He joins me tonight to talk about Romanian football and his upbringing in the game. So that's pretty good. Also, big thank you to Fred Fowler on his run. Fred looking very cool coming across the finish line in the jersey that had Soccer Matters on it. Now, if truth be told, that shirt was put together for our special Euro event out on I-10 at Hugh O'Connor's, where we did the live shows. Big thanks to Fred for not only wearing that, but then posting it out there. And Fred, we will be your official sponsors now. So we're going to outfit you in the Soccer Matters gears. So again, welcome in everybody, and we appreciate that. Deep defending teams, that is what the U.S. is facing in CONCACAF, and that is likely what they're going to face again with Fabian Coto and Honduras. Now, will Honduras come out and produce a pressing game from the start to test the United States, to test where they are at mentally? I'm not sure. I'm not sure what will happen tomorrow with that. I would expect, though, that the blueprint has been sort of put out by El Salvador and Canada. Both defended very deep, and both provided real challenges for the U.S., and the U.S. has only been able to score one goal in two games. And I wouldn't say they have had the best of chances. They had enough chances to win against Canada. They did hit a post through Christian Pulisic. They did have chances. But, you know, so how do you break down deeper defending teams? Now, Greg Berhalter was saying today that, you know, they tried a lot of different things, diagonals. The one thing he did focus in on in the press conference was simply that the U.S., did not move the ball quickly. It was too much side to side. So for me, if teams are defending deep, there's a bunch of things you have to do to try and break them down. There's not one thing. There's a bunch of things you have to try. You got to get width. And you got to get penetration out wide. You got to get behind outside backs if that's possible. It's tough because then you pull center backs out of the middle. Diagonal balls. Early crosses. Passes that break the lines. We didn't see enough of that for the U.S. We saw a lot of side to side. We didn't see the ball circulated quickly enough. But for me, the one thing that I haven't heard, you have to be excellent, and I mean excellent, at recognizing when a team is pulled out of its lower block defending shape. And when you recognize that, you have to be clinical to take advantage of it. It means quick thinking. It means making the right decision quickly. It means making the right pass quickly. It means finding your playmakers quickly. And then you can do some damage. But these teams are so good at lower block defending that a lot of times you're not able. You only get two or three chances at it, four chances at it. If you don't take advantage of it, it's a struggle. It's a struggle. So the United States will take on Honduras tomorrow. And again, Greg Berhalter talked about Weston McKennie. Now, the press conference was strange because it was a little bit sad. There was too much focus on Weston McKennie. I mean, look, the guy broke a team policy. The guy was sent home. I get a couple questions on it, but this is all that anybody wanted to talk about. Finally, somebody asked a soccer question. So Greg Berhalter, the U.S. manager, said on the McKennie thing, team policy, team rules, the team comes first. Decisions were made for long-term health of the program, for the good of the group. It was a tough decision to send him home. He said Weston apologized to the group. He apologized to the coach. Berhalter went on to say, look, it's 7 days of intensity, three games in basically a week, and you have to be single-minded as a group, and you can't break that group. But the questions on McKennie were relentless. Christian Pulisic was on, I must say. He looked fatigued. He looked tired. He didn't look like he wanted to be there. Much like at the end of the game. He said the group is ready to respond. He said he didn't speak to Weston McKennie. But he says the group is ready to respond and that it's an opportunity for them to get the 3 points. They're going to do everything they possibly can to do it. So Weston McKennie, I'll just say this and put an end to it. It just very selfish act, like a lot of people have said. And the sad thing is, he's a charisma guy. He's a tempo guy. And he may have been the guy that really would have helped you in a game like this and would have been a little bit more forward-thinking and progressive with his passes and his energy. He won't be available. Gio Reyna won't be available. Sergiño Dest won't be available. You didn't have Jozy Szardis because he was injured. And, in fact, he may have been very helpful simply because he can come back into midfield and get the ball better than Sabachu, the big center forward who was playing. But for me, there was no penetration. The ball moved too slowly. Movement off the ball was non-existent. It was pretty static. Greg Berhalter can't make passes. He can't make decisions when it comes to the playing of the game. The substitutions you could criticize, I guess, for being late. Christian Pulisic and Brendan Aaronson, your playmaker, they didn't get enough of the ball. Subs came on with about 10 minutes left. The balls that the backs circulated around the back, Brooks and company, too slow, I think. Has to go faster. Have to look forward quicker. But the gap is narrowing in CONCACAF, and I think you saw that with Canada. You knew before this game that Alphonso Davies was their biggest threat from an attacking position as a left back, no question. Still their biggest threat. And Kyle Larin. They got athletes that can run. They set up in a 5-4-1 for the most part and made it very difficult. And this is going to be the challenge likely again against Honduras. And you got to see if you can catch them opened up a little bit. I've heard differing things. I've heard people tell me Honduras will come out aggressive as can be in front of their home crowd at the very start of it to try and catch the U.S. cold. I've heard people say no. They will sit back and defend a little bit deeper and, you know, kind of be careful not to you know, get overcommitted early. And if they do pressure, the U.S. better pressure them right back. I mean, you got to hit that pressure with your own pressure, and that may lead to something good. But if you sit back there and take it, you could be in trouble. And I thought the U.S. started out very slowly against Canada and, in fact, gave up a kind of a weak corner early in that game. So there you go. But Canada's on the rise. They've got a Premier League now that is filling the void and providing opportunity for others to play professional soccer there. John Herdman's ambitious. The coach used to be the coach of the women's national team during their World Cup. You just had one of the teams from the Canadian Premier League beat Vancouver in the Canadian Championship. That cost Mark Dos Santos his job. But the blueprint to play against the U.S. is defend deep. I thought John Brooks struggled mightily. Had a rough game. And the low block, the speed and power of Canada, there's a lot of similarities. If Honduras sets up in a low block, and you know Minor Figueroa is going to play, and a low block will suit him because he'll have people to the right and left of him. So it's a big one tomorrow. It's a big one for the United States, and it'll be interesting to see what type of changes Greg Berhalter will make. So we didn't get Alex Benegas yet, huh?
Unfortunately not. I have not received a call from Alex.
So yeah. We're still waiting on Alex down in Honduras. Hopefully we'll get him on at some point. I know he is very much looking forward to that game. All right, we saw some very strange things happen. 5 minutes after the kickoff between Brazil and Argentina in Sao Paulo in the CONMEBOL World Cup qualifying. Brazilian health officials came on the field. They suspended the game. There was a breach of protocol by four Argentine players that are based in the Premier League. Emiliano Martinez, you know the goalkeeper, right? From Aston Villa. Emilio Buendia from Aston Villa. Emiliano Buendia from Aston Villa. And then Christian Romero and Giovanni Lo Celso from Spurs. So they got different quarantine restrictions down there. Two guys were not given permission to go, and that's Christian Romero of Spurs and Giovanni Lo Celso. They went anyway, which is kind of strange. Messi said, quote, "Why did they start the game and then stop it after 5 minutes? We have been here at the stadium for an hour. They could have told us." So this is power. This is influence. Not sure how this was all negotiated. This was the Brazilian health organization, Anvisa. This is the Argentine FA, it's the Brazilian FA, it's CONMEBOL. It's shocking. It's a joke. Border between Brazil and Argentina is definitely closed. This is a country that decided to have, you know, the Copa America during the height of COVID. Yet they've got a problem with these four players and rules. You know, the challenges of going forward with, you know, quarantine, players getting COVID, this is going to continue, and it's probably going to be like a case-by-case thing. So FIFA's going to add, likely, that FIFA did add an extra date to benefit South America, an extra FIFA date, so they could get all these games in. But, the mistrust of all these institutions, I'll tell you, world governing bodies at every level, they have just done such a wonderful job of creating mistrust in their organizations. All right, we got a lot going on. We got the World Cup qualifiers. We're going to take some of your calls, and we're going to come back with Josh Wolf. And Josh Wolf is the head coach of Austin FC. Now, Austin is killing it when it comes to attendance, environment. It's incredible. We all know that. This weekend, they'll be here in Houston to take on the Houston Dynamo. Right now, I'll give away a four-pack. Austin FC versus the Houston Dynamo. Four tickets. You can take your friends. 713-780-3776. Fifth caller. 713-780-3776. Fifth caller. Austin FC, Houston Dynamo, BBVA Stadium, Saturday night. You get four tickets. Show is always brought to you by John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. They're going to work for you 24-7 nights and weekends. We don't get on the radio without John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Daspit Law Firm, also in Austin, handles our show on the horn. DaspitLawAustin.com. So a big thank you to John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. We'll take a break. We're going to come back with the head coach of Austin FC. We'll start talking about the rivalry and how things have been going up in Austin for their head coach, former U.S. national team striker, Josh Wolf.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the show. Quick word here for Advantage BMW Midtown. Get down to Advantage BMW Midtown. They're proud sponsors of this show. Get down there, talk to Steven and talk to Justin, and they can get you in the vehicle you want, whether it's a sedan or an X5, they'll take you through the process. Great guys down there. Okay, we got a good one this weekend. We got Austin FC coming to town and this new rivalry sort of being birthed. Right now it's 713-780-3776. Caller number three gets a pair of tickets. And with that, we go now. And we're pleased to be joined by the head coach of Austin FC. He's Josh Wolf. He joins us now. Josh, thank you very much for coming on the program.
My pleasure. Always good to be on. Thanks, Glenn.
Yeah, it's good to hear your voice, Josh. And I guess let's just get into this from the perspective right off the top here of sort of rivalry. And you know, we're excited in Texas now that we have three MLS teams here. Rivalry, I'm getting some banter back and forth from the fans. This could be a good start to kind of a rivalry between the Houston Dynamo and Austin FC.
Yeah, I mean, it's a unique situation. You have three teams in the same state, and you know, all three have a competitive edge in trying to make their mark in the marketplace. And we're kind of the new kids on the block and obviously have a lot to prove. But Houston and Dallas both are extremely good teams, established teams, and there's a ton of talent in the state. So, you know, for us, the rivalry is just, as you mentioned, it's in its birth, it's in its infancy. And I think rivalries take time to develop. But that could be one game, that could be 5 minutes, it could be a couple games. So, we obviously had one game against Houston already, and you know, we got the better of them on that day, and they took a red card. So, again, they showed great grit, great fight, and made it a game, kept it a game. And, yeah, we know it'll be a difficult game. Good team, Tab has a good intensity. His players play with real intensity, and we know we're going to go on the road. We got to come up with the goods and be ready to compete in every facet.
Now, that's one thing I've noticed about your team. You haven't got the results you wanted. You've had some tough moments when it comes to scoring goals. For me, you look like a team that moves the ball at times beautifully up the field and through different phases of pressure and things. You haven't been able to get the execution and the goals at the end of it all to reward yourself with that play. But how do you position this weekend to your team? I mean, is this, we still believe we can make the playoffs? Is it simply, hey, let's focus on Houston and the rivalry and get another one over on them? How do you position this to your guys?
Yeah, I think it's more the latter. That, you know, I think we focus on the game and the performance. We know the season has a certain amount of games. We know there's a playoff berth at stake in the long run. But you can only control what's right in front of you. What's right in front of us is a very important in-state rivalry game against Houston. And I know they haven't gotten the results that they've wanted of late either, nor have we to a certain degree. And there's going to be a competitive edge to it. We have a way that we want to play, and Houston has a way that they want to play. So it's, you put those two things on the table, and typically you're going to have some conflict, a difference in the way that you approach the game. And I think we saw that when we played them at home. It was confrontational. They took a red. We got a goal, but they were always going to come with a bite in a fight, and that's expected. And we got to match that, and then we got to try to play. I mean, it's nice to play good soccer, but scoring goals wins games. Winning games puts you in the playoffs, and those are the things that we talk about. And we've had enough written about us and on the good side and the bad side, but this is one game, and it's all we can control, and that's all we're looking forward to right now.
So how challenging has it been? Look, you know, I look at you and Tab, and I just kind of put myself in your shoes and just think of the pressure, sometimes the frustration, the amount of work that goes into this, implementing ideas, you know, working with players, speaking to players, building players up, giving players a push, all the work that goes in as a coach and a coaching staff. How challenging has it been to keep your players up and to continue to implement your ideas when you don't always get the backing of the result?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. I think that's the challenge of coaching and managing, and I look at myself as a teacher and a coach first and foremost. And along the way now, you're certainly having to manage a lot of those moments that you're saying. And for us, we go right back to our process of the way that we play, what our intentions are, the way we prepare for the opponent, but ultimately still how we continue to develop what we are about in the way that we view the game model and expect to go out and implement that. And that's, you know, obviously, I don't think everyone loves to hear that. They want to see what are you doing to win games. And what we're doing is exactly that. We're trying to win games. And I think we put a lot into some of these games where we should be getting more results. But, again, it's the challenge of scoring goals and then keeping the opponent at bay. And both of those things are sometimes challenging and have proved at times this year for us and certainly similar to Houston. But we stick with it. And obviously we're trying to, as you mentioned, we're trying to integrate some new players along the way, getting some players back to health. But I have a good group here, and they're always motivated, and they work their backside off every game, and they compete at a good level. So I don't think that'll be lacking on the weekend. But that's just the starting point. That has to be there in MLS. The competition, the competing, the fighting, the grinding has to be there. And then obviously you got to perform. So we're in the midst of a little bit of both of those.
Josh Wolf, head coach of Austin FC. By the way, he knows a little bit about World Cup qualifying as well, having represented the U.S. national team. And, of course, you know him from Major League Soccer as well. So how much, Josh, of what you're doing now, I mean, how much of this is projecting out, thinking out to next year, establishing a purpose of play? How much rope does the organization give you? Did they say, look, you've got plenty of time to implement this thing, and you know, you're not going to pull off maybe some of your positions tactically and things to try to correct the now, but to continue to kind of look out and say, okay, we keep building it, we keep believing in what we're doing.
Yeah, I think that's who I am, and that's what we're going to try to do here, and that's what we've talked about and philosophically about the way we try to build this club. And I don't talk often or ever really about being an expansion team. We built a team that was can come in and compete. We've shown pretty much, you know, every match that we are in it to compete, and we can play, we can go anywhere and play. And again, still playing is part of it. You know, having the identity, having the style of play, and certainly bringing the players up to speed is all part of it, but it's still about winning as well. And, you know, the more consistency you have and the more clarity you have in the way that you play and the way that you perform, the more times you'll put yourself in position to win. And we're continuing to improve. We still are. Again, I looked at our performance this past week, and it was extremely good for big bouts. And we should have came away with more goals. We didn't. And in the end, that cost us. And, we'll continue to try to get better. And how much room and rope our management and our ownership gives us, that's not something I get too concerned about right now. I'm concerned about winning games and certainly continuing to improve and play. And every team fights in front of trying to perform and get better along the way, the course of the year. And, I know Claudio and I have good dialogue, and certainly Anthony and myself as well. But this is also a business about results. And, you know, we are building, and it is a process. But, you know, I'm committed to continuing to make this better, as is the organization with giving us the funds to get the players that we've been able to get at some point this year. So it's a challenge, but it's an exciting challenge and an opportunity that I continue to really enjoy and relish.
Talk about the challenge to me, because, you know, look, you haven't won everything in life. You've done a lot of winning, though. You've won more often than not. But talk a little bit about that and some of the things that maybe as a coach, if you're willing to, that you've confronted this year that's a little bit different now, being the head guy. You've really kept a steady hand, it certainly seems to me, despite some frustrating times where you've played the better soccer. You probably should have taken a lot of points and didn't get them. But what are some of the things that have confronted you that help you blossom and continue to grow as a manager as well?
Yeah, I think the managing of players is a real big part of it. And we talk about when we don't score goals and individuals have that responsibility, but as a group, we try to build and create goals as a group, and we try to stop and prevent the opponent from scoring goals as a group. And obviously, I was a forward, and I went through my dry spell. There's no doubt about it. And I didn't score enough goals. That'll be the first thing I'd ever say. In my career, I scored some goals, but it wasn't enough, because you can always score more. And that's the mentality I talk to these players about. And sure, we're missing chances, and we're not scoring enough goals, but how do we go about creating them? What's the mindset and how we go about that? And then it's keeping them positive and keeping them focused on scoring and not running from that challenge, but relishing the next opportunity. And, you know, it's a fickle game. The last four or five games, we scored more goals and we've created a lot more goals. And obviously the introduction of Sebastian Giussi has been extremely nice. You know, we've moved Alex into different parts of the field, who he's given us some good goals as well in different ways. So we've tinkered and played with it a little bit. We learn a lot about our players. I think that's what you first, what I've really enjoyed and been, you know, you open yourself up to is listening to the players a lot more. What do they have to say? What things are registering and resonating with them, whether it's from meetings, the presentations, the sessions, you know, it's our principles, all of that. It's the dialogue that's extremely critical. And, you know, it's not to say that they're telling us, you know, what we should do, but we need to listen to the feedback. I mean, we see it on the field as well, but it's important to, you know, coordinate ideas, and certainly there's a collectiveness about the way we play, but we need their input as well. And, you know, they need to feel our support always, because that's what we're here for, is to help them and give them and put them in the best place to perform on Saturdays, but also know that over the course of a year, our job is to develop them and keep teaching them, whether it's Sebastian Giussi or it's Alex Ring or it's Danny Pereira. My job is to teach and maximize their potential and put guys on the field that can now blossom and obviously present the game in the way that we want to and give us the best opportunity to win games.
He's Josh Wolf. He's the head coach of Austin FC. They have been packing him in Austin, Texas. They'll be in Houston this weekend. Rivalry match, second time they'll meet. This is good stuff. I would imagine they're going to be Austin FC fans coming down. This will be Saturday night. Josh, you know, I look at you and Todd Ramos, and I have seen some parallels because I follow both the teams pretty closely. And I've seen you make personnel changes, to your point. I've seen you make subtle tactical changes. You've tried a lot of different things to elicit goals out of this team. Do you sometimes get a little disappointed that you haven't seen a few more players like really take ownership of a position and grab it? Because you have offered an awful lot of opportunity to people to stake a claim to being a starter and really you know, soldiering down a position.
Yeah, I think that's part of. It's also part of, you know, for us learning what these players are. We knew this year and the process was going to be challenging. And as you build a team, there's going to be some bigger wins and, you know, on certain players and acquisitions. And again, I think Diego Fagundes is an example of an extremely big talent. And his calmness, his quality on the field is very clear. And we've utilized him in different ways. I've had him a little bit deeper because depth, we've had issues. We've obviously lacked a striker for most of the year as with injuries, but I've utilized Cecilio and Sebastian at times. And, you know, you try to find ways to get the best out of players without disrupting their you know, certainly their qualities. But, yeah, you always want to see players take a little bit more accountability of what they're doing. But for us, it's also putting them in places for them to succeed, utilizing their qualities and their best personal attributes fitting into the way that we want to play. And that's positional as much as it is tactical as well. But we have quality on this team. We've got plenty of quality to score goals. And again, like I said, I think the last few games we've scored, you know, a good amount of goals. Corbin, we obviously put in another three, but a number of opportunities in the last couple games. We should have scored more. Dallas, we scored three, and it could have been more. Obviously, we gave up five, which was really uncharacteristic for us. But I think the guys have kind of brushed aside that thought and disappointment that we're incapable of scoring goals. Because it was there, and you could feel it for a little bit. But when we play now, and certainly against Vancouver, to create the four or five really good chances in the first half and to only come away with one was difficult. In the second half, we had a couple good chances, but it takes its toll. And again, we'll continue to push and grind and prepare and get better. But, you know, this team has a lot of quality, and the individuals that make up the whole are very competent and extremely appreciative of the way that we play and hungry to get out and perform. And we just got to continue to get better at that.
Sebastian Driussi, I find him a very, very interesting player because he kind of looks like a different player at different times to me. Sometimes he looks really like a center forward. Sometimes he looks like a guy who might set the tempo for you. Speak to me a little bit about him and how you see him through your eyes as the head coach.
He's an extremely responsible professional player. And I say that with the idea when he plays in training, when he does his work, there's a tempo and a speed and it's a real level. It's a real tempo all the time. And his quality on the field, playing in between lines and certainly in and around goals, finishing off opportunities, arriving in the penalty box with urgency and with clarity. And he takes the information on extremely well. He doesn't ask why, it's more of how and what do you want me to do. And then he goes and does it at a real high level. And this is a guy that costs significant money, and it's a great role model for other players. He was playing in Champions League not too long ago, and he comes here with every intention of competing and winning. And, you know, it's a special characteristic and quality that he has. But on the field, I think he can play a number of spots. He's extremely calm. His understanding of space, positioning between lines, and his discipline to stick to that is extremely good. And you can see in one of the goals against Dallas, his eye for the final pass, his quality in the final pass is extremely good. And just his work rate, his tempo, and his change of speed is quite dynamic. And I love watching him move in and around the penalty box because it has such precision and spirit and pace and pop to it. And then he's able to finish off plays, which is always something that we'll need in your attacking form. But the idea and the hope is that the other players can see this and recognize, you know, what it is he does, not just scoring goals, but how he contributes and all those other things, the emotion, the intensity. And then his voice, he talks. He's certainly very charismatic and brings the team together in a good way, and that's been extremely helpful in a short time.
Well, Josh, listen, thank you very much. You've really helped us set this up for both the audience in Austin and here in Houston. It should be a really exciting day on Saturday. I really do appreciate your time immensely. And best of luck going ahead. And thanks again for coming on the program tonight.
As always, thank you, Glenn.
All right. That's the one and only Josh Wolf. Great stuff there from him. A big thanks to Mauricio Villarreal up in Austin, who helps set these interviews up. And, of course, when it comes to the Dynamo, it's Edgar Valise, who is just, man... You know, Edgar and Mauricio would be good twin-holding midfielders because these are two PR guys that just absolutely, they get it done. I mean, you ask them for something, they get it done. And, boy, they make life easier for guys like me. All right, 713-780-3776 right now. I got a pair of tickets to the Chicago Red Stars. Actually, let's make it a four-pack. Houston-Red Stars, Friday night, right now, third caller, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. And a big thank you to FM Kitchen. Two locations, one in the Montrose Westheimer area. The other one is north of Washington Avenue on Shepherd. That's my go-to. Great craft cocktails. Great fresh food. I recommend the chicken sandwich. The burgers, fantastic. The salads. They do brunch as well, which is phenomenal on the weekend. So get over to either location, the one north of Washington Avenue. Has a big outdoor area. It's kind of like a beer garden. You can bring your dog and you can bring your kids and your family. All right, we'll take a break. It's BT Express. Do it till you're satisfied.
sports is ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Pifok behind Pulisic, and then he takes the ball. Play on, says the referee. U.S. advantage, Calvin Acosta, Anthony Robinson, and scores!
I think looking at this and keeping it in perspective, you know, we knew it was going to be a difficult road. We knew it, you know, we knew there were going to be tough games, and we're getting into it, and we're finding out that they are tough games, and that's something we have to deal with. And, you know, I think our success is going to depend on how we're able to deal with that as a team. And, you know, there's ups and downs and bumps in the road, and we just have to keep responding when we're called on.
That was Greg Berhalter, the head coach of the U.S. men's national team, talking about the difficulty of qualifying out of CONCACAF. The U.S. have 2 points heading into a key game tomorrow night as they will take on Honduras and San Pedro Sula tomorrow. And our next interview is brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm and Cactus Records, the legendary. That's where I get my vinyl, one of the places. But Cactus is a great spot to be ready for burning topics coming tomorrow. We go down to Honduras right now, though. Great friend of the show, a guy that does tremendous work in media and covering the CONCACAF region. He is Alex Benegas of Central America Radio and TV. He is live in Honduras. He joins us now. Alex, how are you?
Hey, Glenn, very nice talking to you. I'm here in Honduras getting ready for what's supposed to be a good match tomorrow between Honduras and the U.S. I'm here, my friend, and hoping that we have a very good game, hoping that Honduras actually finally gets to play good soccer and brings us some good soccer here in San Pedro Sula.
All right, so give us the flavor in the country, the press, the media. Is the excitement building yet? Are we seeing it build already? Because it's rare when a U.S. national team really visits Honduras.
You know what? We've got to remember something. This is the first soccer game that the Honduras national team is going to have in their home field since COVID started back in last year. This wow. is the first, actually the first national team game with fans in the stands. So yes, there's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of talks about the game. United States arrived this afternoon around 1:30. Around 3 o'clock, they were in the hotel. They were able to do a press conference from the hotel. U.S., obviously, we all know that they're going to have a few players out. But U.S. is one of the teams considered to be number one or number two in the qualification for the next World Cup.
Alex Benegas joining us, Central America Radio and TV. You can find him there on Facebook, Central America Radio and TV. Does a great job of covering CONCACAF. He's down live in Honduras. All right, I listened in on the press conference. I watched the press conference from Honduras with Greg Berhalter and Christian Pulisic. I wanted to ask you, did Christian Pulisic look pretty fatigued to you? Did he look tired to you?
He looked tired, but we saw him when he got here to the airport. He didn't only look tired for me. He actually looked mentally tired. And I don't know if we can connect these two. Now, not only physical tire, but mentally tire. We got to remember that there's a lot of things going on behind the soccer field. You know, there's all these talks about what happened off the court and everything going on with Christian Pulisic and McKenzie. But, you know, he looks very tired, but not only physical, but mentally. I don't know that he is 100% to play Honduras. Now, the advantage for the U.S. team right now is that Honduras does not have a definite team, meaning that Fabian Coito, the Honduran coach, has been trying players all over the place, does not have a starting 11 that we know. We don't know what kind of surprises it's going to bring. And that is really bad for the Honduras team. I have talked to a couple of players behind the mix, and, you know, they're kind of questioning where are they going to play, how are they going to be measured. You know, they can play really good in one game, doesn't guarantee them to play the next game. Very similar to what Juan Carlos Osorio used to have in the Mexican national team.
With Mexico.
And that's not really good in the Honduran team.
Yeah, Fabian Coito, talk to me. The Uruguayan is certainly a man with his own ideas. Do you see him reverting back to the lineup that started off qualification? Obviously, Minor Figueroa and some of these guys coming back into the lineup because he made 9 changes against El Salvador.
You know what? Fabian Coito, right now, like I said before, does not have a starting 11. This will be the third game in September. And this will definitely be a game that we will see another completely different team than the one that played Canada. I'm assuming that Honduras is going to play with defensive line with Felix Crisanto, Marcelo Pereira, Minor Figueroa, and Rodriguez on the left side. Midfield, he will probably go start with Brian Acosta on the center field. On the right, he will have Andy Nahar. On the left, he will have Roman Kyoto. And then forward, he will use Anthony Lozano and Eddie Hernandez, two players that have actually not done a perfect job for the Honduras national team, but they have international experience. So a lot of people is counting on them for tomorrow's game.
This is great stuff from Alex Benegas. He's live down in Honduras. He's with Central America Radio and TV. You can find that on Facebook, Central America Radio and TV. He's been on this program. Alex does a great job of covering CONCACAF, and he's on the scene. The other thing is we forgot to mention no Albert Elise as well, so that's a break for the United States as well. No La Panterita.
No, there's no Panterita for tomorrow's game. Panterita just signed a new contract in Europe. We were not expecting the Panterita to play on these September games. However, we expect the Panterita to play in the covers game. We do have, or the Honduras national team has Anthony Lozano, who's a player that is right now currently in Cadiz in Spain. With Romel Kyoto, Andy Nahar, and Brian Acosta, I think it's going to be the key for the Honduras national team to at least try to keep the ball and not open up a lot of spaces in the field for the U.S. national team. We all know that the U.S. needs to win. Honduras needs to win. It's going to be a very good game. I do not think Fabian Coito, with all the pressure that he has, will actually be very aggressive playing forward or trying to make some goals. He'll be very defensive, and I think that's going to be a key for the United States national team.
All right, we have Marcelo Balboa coming up on the show. We're talking right now to Alex Benegas, but I did talk to Marcelo earlier in the day, and Alex Benegas is with Central America Radio and TV. He's live in Honduras right now. He thinks Honduras is going to come out. They're going to high-press the beginning just to see if they can catch the U.S. cold, and then likely will revert into, you know, a lower block defensively and play for the counterattack, much like El Salvador and Canada did against the U.S. in the first two qualifying games that the States have played.
Correct, and that's exactly what we think Fabian Coito is going to do. He knows that the U.S. is a very aggressive team. He knows that the United States national team has enough to make some damage and to hurt the Honduras national team on the offensive side. And that's why we don't expect Fabian Coito, the Uruguayan coach from the Honduras national team, to be very aggressive from the get-go. It's going to be a very interesting game because, for what I can see, we're going to have a very offensive U.S. national team and a very defensive Honduras national team. Honduras has proven to be one of the most defensive teams in these CONCACAF qualifying games, and it's going to be that way throughout the whole tournament. We don't expect Fabian Coito to change his mind. We don't expect Fabian Coito to change his tactics during the, on the field. He's going to be very defensive. He's going to be changing players from one game to next. What we call here as something that can hurt the Honduras national team at the end of the day.
Fabian Coito, you're giving me the sense that there may be differing ideas between the player and the coach of Honduras, Fabian Coito. Is that fair to say?
Yes, we've talked, behind the scenes, like we say, with some Honduras national players. The only thing that they do not understand is that why if somebody's playing 100% in one game, what if somebody is playing really good in one game, they don't have the right to play the next game. You know, and something that the players are concerned with. Honduras do not have the advantage as Mexico had with Osorio. You know, they don't have as many players internationally, and they don't have as really strong players on the field to be changing in each and every other game. And some of the players are really uncomfortable with that situation. They do not understand why, if they play a really good game, they will have to sit down for the next game. And that's something that really concerns the Honduras national team. And, you know, we have to take a really good close look at this because the Honduras national players, they're not 100% comfortable with the situation.
But in this case, Alex, isn't Fabian Coito just saying, look, I mean, we got three games in 8 days. Everybody can't play right away. I mean, Minor Figueroa couldn't play three straight games at 37 years of age. Isn't he doing this simply because he's trying to rotate so that he can get through the three games with a competitive team?
No, you know, Fabian Coito has been doing this since he got to Honduras 3 years ago, actually 4 years ago. He does not have starting 11 yet. I mean, he's been in the country for four years. Okay. During COVID, he found an excuse to leave to Uruguay because he did not want to be in Honduras. He did not stay, you know, in Honduras, working with the national team, like Tata Martino from Mexico did, like Tomas Christiansen from Panama did. Mm-hmm. You know, so people is actually really bad about it because obviously right now it's people is asking him, it's like, okay, you wasted all this time going back to Uruguay because you didn't want to be in Honduras during the pandemic, but now you have a lot of time to catch up. What's going on? You know, I mean, mm-hmm. he's not doing this because it's just a three-game series. He's doing this because that's the way he's been doing it since he got to Honduras 3 years ago.
Yeah, now you explained it to me. Okay, I see. This is in general since he's gotten there. He has never really been able to settle on what his best 11 players are as a basis. So this has nothing to do with three games in 7 or 8 days in this round of qualifying. Okay, I got that, and I'm glad you explained that. If you look at the key player tomorrow against the United States for Honduras, who would it be?
If we're talking about the Honduras national team, we're going to have Bubba Lopez on the goalie. At the goalie, he's going to have four defensive players, which be from the right, going right from the left. It's going to be Felix Crisanto, number two. He also have Marcelo Pereira, Minor Figueroa, and Rodriguez on the left as a left wing.
Yeah, but Alex, I meant which player for you has to really perform at the high level for Honduras? One singular player that you really think has to really kind of produce tomorrow to kind of lead the Honduran national team?
It will be actually Anthony Lozano, that guy who plays in Europe, in Spain. Correct. He's been in Spain for a few years. As a matter of fact, he played in a Barcelona B team. And he will be one of the players, key players, that you have to see it and look at him on tomorrow. And people is counting on him to make the difference on the field.
Alex, listen, you're a great man. Thank you for coming on tonight. This is tremendous stuff from down in Honduras. When you get back, let's bring you on the show again and let's talk some CONCACAF because you're a CONCACAF expert. He's Alex Benegas, Central America Radio and TV, live from Honduras. Alex, thank you so much.
Anytime, brother.
All right. That's Alex Benegas. Great stuff from him down there. So, you know, he gave you a good little nugget there that it's a little tension between the coach and players based on lineups and things. We'll take a break. It's all presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Right now, pair of tickets to Dynamo and Austin FC. Caller number two at 713-780-3776.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's, with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 7-9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a workload is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.